Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. The Reverend Peter Lang is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from John chapter 2. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water now become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's the beginning of Jesus' ministry as narrated in John's Gospel. Jesus has just called his disciples after being epiphanied at his baptism in the Jordan River, and he's now moved north from there up to Galilee, where he and his mother and his disciples were invited to a wedding in the town of Cana, just a few miles from his hometown of Nazareth. And then, embarrassment of all embarrassments, the wine runs out. Be like running out of wedding soup at an Italian wedding or beer at a German one. And with a knowing look that few others could share, Jesus' mother says to him, "They do not have wine." And of course, that carries with it an implied suggestion. And then comes that response from Jesus, which begins in a surprising way and then continues with an understandable question, then concludes with a statement that sums up the major takeaway of this entire gospel account. Jesus says to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." The surprising part is Jesus addressing his mother as woman, which can't be explained away as somehow normal in the language or culture of that day. He addresses her the same way when dying on the cross. And though his ensuing question certainly isn't sinful, because Jesus is the sinless Son of God, it's definitely reminiscent of the 12-year-old Savior's question to his parents on the way home from the Jerusalem temple. "Didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" "Woman, what does this have to do with me?" Literally, "What is to me and to thee?" he said. "What does this implied request of yours have to do with why I came into the world, and why I was baptized by John, and why I just gathered a band of disciples, and with what I'm going to be doing for the next several years until a sword pierces your soul when it pierces my side? What does this have to do with me?" "Jesus, they've run out of wine," his mother said. And how do we miss the point of Jesus' work? Or at least fail to prize above everything else the main purpose for which Jesus came into this world? "Jesus, my health has run out, and I'm not going to get to enjoy life and grandchildren for as long as others do, or the retirement I've worked so hard for. Do something about it." "Jesus, common decency has run out. There are people who don't love me or respect or appreciate or trust me like they should. Do something about it." "Jesus, your blessings have run out. I've tried so hard to do your will, but you don't seem to be blessing me like I thought you do for your disciples. Do something about it." Oh, true, the Lord does invite us to pray for bread that is sufficient for each day. And yes, there is Paul's rhetorical question of how will the Lord not, along with his sacrificed Son, graciously give us all things? But today, there's this question of Jesus to his mother. "What does this have to do with me? Why are you talking to me about such mundane matters? My hour has not yet come." Whether in our prayers to Jesus or the ordering of those things that are most important to us, or the prioritization of the daily tasks in our vocation, we would do well to remember this question of Jesus to his mother and not to forget the Savior's laser-like focus on his hour, which had not yet come here at the beginning of his ministry. And what was that hour? When did it come? John's gospel and this gospel account are full of cues and allusions that contribute to its interpretation and make this so much more than a one-dimensional story about running out of wine and a miracle to fix it. The opening words, for example, "on the third day," is an unusual way to begin and builds on three different next day references in the preceding chapter and calls to mind several Old Testament connections that the well-catechized child of Abraham would recognize. But that's for another sermon. And what about this word "hour" that occurs first here in John's gospel, but is then used at least a half a dozen times more in reference to Jesus? In chapter 7, John says that the Jews didn't arrest Jesus because his hour had not yet come. In chapter 8, John again says that no one arrested Jesus because his hour had not yet come. But beginning in chapter 12, after the Palm Sunday procession, Jesus says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." And again, a few verses later, he says, "Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour." Jesus' hour is the hour of his suffering, crucifixion, and death for the life of the world. That's the reason Jesus came into the world. That's what hadn't yet come by the time of the wedding at Cana at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And that's what Jesus' mother didn't seem to grasp or remember in her comment to Jesus. And as if to underscore this connection between this non-hour of the wedding at Cana and the hour of the cross, the foot of the cross is the only other place in John's entire gospel where we see the mother of Jesus and the disciple whom Jesus loved standing nearby. And he said, "Woman, behold your son." In terms of cues and allusions, we could talk about those water jars for the Jewish rites of purification and Jesus sitting down at the right hand of the Father after making purification for sins on the cross. We could talk about the water made wine and the water that flowed from Jesus' side at the cross and the water of holy baptism by which Jesus presents us to himself without spot or wrinkle or any such thing but holy and blameless. And of course, we could talk about the best wine that was saved for last, and the wine of Jesus' blood that we drink each Lord's Day and which flowed from his side when his hour had fully come. But let's conclude today where this pericope concludes. This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. As with water and wine in John's gospel, that word glory packs a punch in the fourth gospel. To be sure, at times it's used in the normal sense of the word, maybe to talk about Jesus' divinity or even the praise of men. But quite often it's used to refer specifically to his death. Again, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified, Jesus said during Holy Week. And then he talked about a kernel of grain or wheat falling to the ground and dying, and about being lifted up from the earth. And examples could be multiplied. It's all of one piece with the hour that hadn't yet come at Cana, but would in 3 years. Jesus changing water into wine did manifest or epiphany him as the Son of God to those wedding guests. But already here, his glory as of the only Son from the Father is a glory that would find its fullest expression on the cross, where Jesus died for the life of the world and poured out his blood, which he still lavishes on you and me today for the forgiveness of sins, to prepare us for the marriage feast of the Lamb that will have no end. no matter the guilt that burdens you, even when your thoughts and prayers and priorities deserve from Jesus a, what does this have to do with me? May the blessings of Jesus' hour and his blood-soaked glory refresh and cheer you until that hour when he calls you to his eternal wedding feast. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.